You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You just never know what's coming around the bend here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, but we love to bring you the most interesting tidbits that we can find to be the most informative, funny, and just entertaining podcast we can be.
That's right. Everything we do, it's to hopefully entertain you guys.
That's right. Before we dive into this week's headlines, we like to start off a little bit with, you know, what we've been up to. So first off, Mike, how are you doing? Well, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good, but before I say anything else, I have to give a shout out to some a special shout out to some of our listeners up in the glorious land of Canada.
Oh, yeah. Canada!
Two of my cousins have been listening to the show, Francesco and Giovanna, so a shout out to our Canadian audience.
Sausages!
they get a sausage shout out.
They'll recognize my dad's voice.
Sausages!
Or maybe not. I don't know.
No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
We haven't done one of those in a while. Sausage shout out.
Sausage shout out. Yeah.
To your cousins in Canada. Hope you enjoy it.
Sausages!
Only on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Only on the Crispy Noodle. Do we give someone a shout out?
A sausage shout out.
And it's literally my dad shouting sausage.
Yeah.
Sausages!
So, there you go.
I hope you guys enjoy that up in Canada.
Other than that, I got a chance to watch Anchorman 2 this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How did you like it?
Not as good as the first.
Yeah, it's tough to do a comedy sequel.
It is, especially I thought that they were reusing a lot of gags, and it kind of dragged on. The movie could have been like half an hour shorter.
That fucking sucked.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it sucked. Have you seen it?
No, I didn't see
it. No? The last 15 minutes are some of the most ridiculous film you'll ever watch.
Okay.
But before that, it was actually kind of boring. Which sounds weird coming from a Will Ferrell movie, yeah. But
yeah, that's not good for a comedy.
No, I didn't find it quite as enjoyable as the first. The first is such a cult classic.
Yeah,
though,
so it's tough to try and make it.
It is tough. But that's what I was doing this weekend. What about you, Rich?
I was out and about for a little bit. You know what? I've got a you know what? I'm going to throw it in. Since you kicked off your segment with a sausage shout out, I'm going to do one of my own.
So. All right. Yeah, let the sausages fly. That sounded wrong.
We got all kinds of sausages. Big sausages. Little sausages. Brown sausages. Slightly less brown sausages. All kinds of goddamn sausages. Son of a bitch.
Yep, so there you go. When Mike lets the sausages fly, that's the full list. But no, I've got a sausage shout out. Over the weekend, I was out at a couple bars in Skipback and ran into a friend of mine who does a... an acoustic guitar like band kind of a thing called the Other Brothers Band. And I just happened to be at the bar that they were playing at. And I knew this guy from high school. And I saw him and reconnected.
Wow. So you never know who you're going to run into out there.
No, you never know. So I'm going to give a sausage shout out to the Other Brothers Band. And, hey, you know what? They do acoustic performances. We might have to get them on the show.
Yeah.
We've seen that with,
Mike Roy.
Mike Roy of Roy and the Secret People. We were able to pull off an acoustic performance.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get the same thing.
Maybe we'll get in touch with them. Yeah. Acoustic. I always enjoy a good acoustic song.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Other Brothers Band, You Guys Rock, and you're going to get a sausage shout out.
Sausages!
There you go.
So,
sausage wow. shout outs for everybody.
Sausages!
Everyone gets a sausage.
Yeah.
Sausages!
We have now spent a lot of time talking about sausages.
Yes.
An inordinate amount of time, really.
That goes without saying.
And our podcast is called The Crispy Noodle. Go figure.
Yeah. What?
Well, you know, we talk about sausages so much, it's a song.
Yeah.
They come into America.
No sausages.
They come into America.
No sausages.
They come into America.
No sausages.
They come into America today.
It's American. No sausages.
Today.
It's American. No sausages. It's American. No sausage. Hot dogs and hamburgers are better than sausages.
I love that song. And you know, it's almost 4th of July again.
Oh my God.
We have to have my dad back
he
on.
He has to come back on. It'll be the 1 year anniversary of his famous sausage clip.
Yeah, we'll have to start an online petition or something.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we need to have him on the, yes, next week. Yeah,
yeah. Well, next week. Oh my God, I'm so
next
excited.
Next week is it would be the 4th of July. Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Time flies.
Talk about having the summer go by. Yeah, there you go. 4th of July is already next week, essentially.
Man. Yeah.
The way we record, 4th of July falls on Friday, but still, that would be, next
that would
week.
Be the week, yeah. The...
Oh my gosh. Man, summer's flying by.
Yes, it is.
All right. Wow. Yeah, let's recap everything we did. We gave out some shout outs and then talked about sausages and then the
4th of July.
And then the 4th of July. Go figure.
Well, you know, one of our favorite subjects to talk about on this show, though, is, of course, sports. And they've been getting us through the summer, right, Rich?
Kind of.
Well, for the most part.
Yeah. So, you know what? Yeah, Mike's right. Let's dive right into our first batch of headlines. Folks, it's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yeah, in your face.
We're just going to use that for every single segment, aren't we?
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what popped up into our faces recently was this kind of sad and shocking news regarding the Flyers.
Oh, yeah. This one came across the wire, boy, you just heard a whole bunch of gasps at Flyers fans.
Yeah. Well, why don't we tell them what this shocking news is?
The assistant captain of the Flyers, Scott Hartnell, suddenly traded by the Flyers to Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for former Flyers RJ Umberger.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and boy, that's kind of a little bit emotional with Scott Hartnell. I mean, he's been a part of the Flyers organization since 2007.
Yeah, 7 years. And he was a big part of that Stanley Cup run in the 2009-2010 season.
He's just been great on and off the ice. For the Flyers organization, he's very visible to the Philly media. Just very shocking to hear that the Flyers decided to trade him away.
Yeah, he's a big name and a big player too. He was important here.
He was important in getting the Flyers to the Stanley Cup Finals in the 2009-2010 season. But unfortunately, the last couple seasons, his numbers have gone down, that made the decision to trade him a little bit more easier for the Flyers front office.
It's always sad to trade away a fan favorite.
Yeah.
You know, or someone that's had success with the franchise in the past.
That's
it's always
right.
tough.
I've had the chance to meet Scott Hartnell before.
Really?
Yeah, and he seems like a very cool dude.
Wow.
And I think the Flyers are losing a good player in him. And just a cool guy in general.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the nasty business side of sports sometimes.
Yeah, when that feed came across my Twitter, this was my reaction.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
But in other news, Scott Hartnell will now win the Stanley Cup. Because now he's away from Philadelphia.
Yeah, last week we talked about how whether athletes need to leave the city to win a championship.
Yeah, so now Scott Hartnell will be on his way to win the Stanley Cup for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
So you're predicting the Columbus Blue Jackets in 2015 then?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Well, it's a tradition.
You heard it here first, folks.
It's a tradition.
If we're wrong, you can attack Rich.
Yeah, it's a tradition. You leave the Flyers, you win the Stanley Cup. long time tradition.
It's a tradition that all players go through, right?
Yeah. Also, on an interesting note, speaking of players that have left the Flyers organization, past Flyers players, Carter, Richards, and JVR, and now Scott Hartnell, have all been traded away in shocking fashion, all on the same date.
Wow.
Yep, June 23rd.
That's very odd.
All on the same date.
That's the day that's just the day that the Flyers like to deliver the bad news, I guess.
Yes, if you're a Flyers player and your stats are in decline, you need to survive June 23rd.
Yeah. It's a very strange day.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was pretty weird that's four major Flyers in the past, I'd say, 5 years.
That is very weird. Is it associated with like the close of business for the league?
It's the beginning of the trading off season for the NHL.
Well, there you go. I'm sure we could find the same thing in the other sports, but it's very odd that it's all on the
right,
same day.
It's just all odd that it's on the same day.
Yeah.
And then I also want to bring up this. They had, apparently this is kind of catching on, something called a heart trick instead of a hat trick.
Right. A hat trick, of course, is when you make three goals.
Right. A heart trick instead is something that Scott Hartnell would be good at.
Okay.
It's you score a goal, you register a hit, and you get into a fight.
I'm assuming he's had quite a few of them throughout his career.
And it's actually being like kept track of now.
Oh, wow.
A heart trick.
That's nice. You know you've made it when you've had something named after you.
You've had a stat named after you.
Yeah.
a goal, a hit, and a fight in the same game. That's a heart trick.
They should name more things after players.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Like, oh, there's a Costanzo going on there.
Oh, boy. I don't know what that's for.
Eating a hot dog, scoring two goals.
Where do you find time to eat a hot dog in a professional sports game?
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Oh, you know what I should have gone with?
Oh, no. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so excuse me. We're changing this up. No. Costanzo is scoring two goals and...
sausage!
Eating a sausage.
Yeah, no hot dog. See, my dad doesn't want the sausage, but I'll take the sausage.
Sausage!
Yep, there you go.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a Costanzo.
That's a Costanzo, yep. Two goals and a sausage.
Yep, there you go. Well,
where you'll find a sausage on the hockey rink, I don't know.
Sausage!
So there you go. That's our hockey coverage, somehow going back to sausage. But no, in all seriousness, as a Philadelphia fan, sad to see Scott Hartnell go to the Columbus Blue Jackets. But you know, we'll see how both players fare. I mean, the good part is we are getting a former Flyer back in RJ Umberger.
Yeah.
And you know, Scott Hartnell, although he was such a great player, his stats were declining. So it might be a smart move in the long run.
Maybe. We'll have to see. And we'll have to see how RJ Umberger does.
Right. But still doesn't help take away that first pang. To see that Scott Hartnell will not be wearing a Flyers uniform this year.
It's always tough to say goodbye, but we have to say goodbye to Scott Hartnell. But wish him good luck for the Columbus Blue Jackets, unless they're playing the Flyers.
That's right.
Then bad luck.
Take that. All right, but moving on, we got a little bit of an update on a story that we have been following for the last couple of months or so. Mike, do you want to get into this?
Yeah, every once in a while we get an unfortunate headline that has to deal with the fun people over at the Washington Redskins front office.
The fun people. You make because this is a PR commercial.
Well, because they keep on forcing themselves into the headlines for the wrong reasons, Rich.
Yeah.
Of course, we're talking about the controversy, the ongoing controversy about the Washington Redskins name. If you just take a second to think about it, you'll realize where the controversy stems from. The fact that the Washington Redskins name is widely regarded to be a derogatory term. Well, guess what? The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office agrees that it is, quote, a disparaging of Native Americans and that the team's trademarks must be canceled.
So yeah, pretty that, big hammer coming down.
Effectively, the U.S. Patent Office wants to take away the trademarks for the Washington Redskins name. Of course, the Washington Redskins are going to appeal this, and during the appeal process, they'll be able to keep the name. But this deals a major blow against the franchise.
Yep.
If this sticks and they lose the trademarks and they lose the patents, they're probably going to have to change their team name.
Yeah. So here's something that I think a lot of people might not know about the NFL is that it's the NFL, the way they collect money for merchandising is very centralized.
Right. Everything goes back to the NFL, the league itself, right?
Yeah. So if you buy a Bears jersey and then a 49ers jersey and then a Jaguars jersey, it all goes into one pool and
right.
then is split between all the teams except the Cowboys because they're a-holes.
Wow.
So anyway, yeah, all the NFL merchandise goes into this one pool and then it's split between the 31 teams evenly. Now, if the Redskins are going to be a part of this pool of the NFL merchandising pool, but they're not making any money and they're not putting any money into the pool because the trademark office has taken away their official right to use the name Redskins to make money. The NFL is going to bring down the hammer. The NFL.
Oh yeah.
It's now going to come from the NFL. You have to change your name.
Well, yeah, because they're a big market team.
Yeah.
You know, this is Washington DC we're talking about. This is a huge market.
Right.
And one of the longest standing franchises, I think. Unfortunately, they're going to try to appeal this. But if they don't win the appeal, this is going to cause major problems, not just for the Redskins, but like you pointed out, the NFL in general.
Yeah.
Robert Griffin III has one of the best-selling jerseys.
And you're telling me the Redskins aren't going to be able to make money off of them?
Yeah. The NFL will not appreciate that.
No.
Looking at tens of millions of dollars, potentially.
Oh, yeah. The thing I don't like about this, it took a department of our government to lay down the hammer on this. I really wish that Dan Snyder just would have just agreed that the name was stupid and he just would have changed it and just would have avoided all this nonsense.
Yeah, but
that makes me just crazy.
It is ridiculous. And it's interesting to note, though, that this isn't the first time this case has been brought up to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. They had another case in 1999. And it was overturned in 2003 because of a technicality. The courts decided that the plaintiffs were too old, which okay. is very strange. But this new case was actually launched in 2006 by a younger group of Native Americans. And they finally held the hearing in March of 2013. And now they're finally getting around to laying down the verdict. Of course, now Daniel Snyder and the Redskins are going to fight it tooth and nail. Drag it out several more years. And you're right, though. It's sad that it had to come down to a government office twice to try and get this name to change.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, the name is awful.
It is
just awful.
Yeah. And I'm just upset that the Redskins organization just couldn't rally some sort of internal force to just confront Dan Snyder and just say, this is stupid.
Yeah, really.
You know, just change the name. Just make everyone happy and just change the name.
But you know, they did the exact opposite. Every single time that the name controversy came up.
They fought.
They came up with stupid things like hashtag Redskins Pride. Did you hear about that debacle?
Or,
that advertisement they had.
What was that? The Center for...
Oh, the Center for Native American.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's a stupid thing.
They started a foundation and they were like, oh, we've already bought a tractor for Native American reservation.
Woo!
Well, whoop-de-doo.
He's okay. Better than nothing.
Better than nothing, yeah. We'll give you a tractor if we're allowed to keep on using racist terms.
He's okay. Better than nothing.
That's what the Redskins...
That was the bargaining agreement right there. The Iron Sheik was in charge there.
He's okay. Better than nothing.
It's sad when we look at it in those terms, but the Redskins are basically saying, how much money do we need to donate in order to use this racist term? And that's what the foundation comes down to, right? If you read between the lines.
Just change the – I'm sorry. Just change the name. Why is it so
– It seems like a simple decision to us.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's going to suck for, like, you know, that transition period where you've got to get rid of all of the old Redskins, you know, merchandise, and you're going to have to change the names,
but you know,
and
what?
All the websites and all the marketing.
Teams,
but you know what?
Other teams
it
have
can
done
happen.
It.
Yeah, other teams have done it.
Just recently, I remember, what was it? The Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Change to just Rays.
Right.
The New Orleans
what were they? The
Hornets became the Pelicans.
That's just a strange change, but
yeah.
They managed it, right?
Right.
You have, what was it? The team in Washington basketball, they moved to Oklahoma City, right?
The Seattle Supersonics became the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. This is not unheard of in sports.
No.
Teams change names.
And you don't
move.
Have to leave a city. You don't have to move. You can just rebrand.
What about updating logos? Both the Jaguars and the Lions have updated their logos in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And they managed to switch over all their merchandising.
Right. You can change your name. It's not impossible.
No, and much smaller franchises have done it before. The Tampa Bay Devil Rays, for instance. That's a small franchise.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking. So you're a huge market. You're telling me that if you changed your franchise name that you wouldn't have everybody go out and buy a new RG3 jersey? Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. I hate the fight. Come on. Just change it. Get it over with.
Yeah, I agree.
Come on, Dan Snyder.
Do you think that Dan Snyder could have avoided this whole controversy just by staying quiet?
I'll tell you what. He didn't help his case.
Not at all, no.
By you know, doing all this stupid thing with the foundation and
and the hashtag Redskins Pride. That was just ridiculous.
Yeah, that was a debacle.
But part of me thinks that if he had just stayed quiet, if he had just not done either of those things, they would not be in this situation right now. Because remember, at one point, President Obama made a statement about it, and you have congressmen talking about it. Because Dan Snyder kept on pushing it into the spotlight.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. He didn't help. He did not help his case. But I think at some point, this issue still would have come up. I don't think...
You think eventually... Because it is pretty bad.
Yeah, I don't think he could have remained silent on
it. Yeah, this isn't Tiger Woods cheating on his wife. This is, like, a major racist term in the 21st century.
Yeah.
Like, I always use the example, I tell people, think about it with other racial minorities, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't fly.
No, no.
And it shouldn't fly.
No,
just change the name. Come on.
That's the lesson to take away. Just change the name. Just realize this is the 21st century and you shouldn't be saying things like that.
Yeah. So there you go, an update there. Will a third-party intervention by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office finally cause the Redskins to change their name? We'll find out as the story develops. We'll keep you updated. But now let's move on to one more story in our sports sampler. And oh my gosh, I'm sure Mike is loving this.
Yeah, I'm such a fan of this. You know, I think it's just as dumb as the Redskins' name. I'm, of course, talking about the U.S. tying with Portugal in the World Cup.
Yep. The U.S. soccer team had their second World Cup match in the round robin segment of the World Cup tournament. And it's just a shame because they could have won. They were up.
They could have. They really could have.
They were up 2-1 heading into the final minutes of that game. But Portugal scores the game-tying goal with literally, I think, like 5 seconds left on the clock.
It was very close to the end of the game.
Yeah. I believe, actually, the latest recorded score ever in World Cup history.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Unfortunately, not cool for the U.S. As, unfortunately, what could have been a U.S. win, which would have clinched a spot in the field of 16... unfortunately, now becomes just a tie with Portugal. Final score 2-2. And I'm sure this is tearing at you, Mike. For those that don't know, Mike absolutely hates the concept of ties in sports and
so
competition.
It's so stupid.
So, you know what?
It's all just right. pointless.
All right, let's dive into it, Mike. Why do you hate ties? Go.
I hate ties because
the he's very got this planned out.
The very concept.
I'm just going to go over here in the corner, and you can just talk for the next 5 minutes. All right, Mike, go for it.
I hate ties in sports because the very concept of a sport is.
I'm all the way over here.
He's literally sitting away from the microphone. The concept of sports is to be a competition. How can you have a competition where you battle for more than an hour and a half, and at the end of everything you say, well, we're both equally average. Let's just give up right now and agree that neither of us is better or worse than the other. Let's just tie and forget all about it. How do you sit through, as a fan, how do you sit through, 95 minutes of play and your team just ties? They're exactly where they started. They spent 95 minutes playing for exactly zero gain. And that's what a tie is to me. And the players, they have to be pissed too. They play soccer. I've read a stat that each player runs about 7 to 9 miles throughout the course of a game. And then they end up tying? That fucking sucked. Yes, it does. It's awful. I'm sorry. I just dislike ties. I don't think they have a place in sports.
All right, is it time for me to come back?
Yes, it's time for you to come back.
All right, hey guys, what's up?
So, what are your thoughts on this evil, devil-ish tying concept?
I am the Satan's number proclaimer!
Well, as Satan's number proclaimer, you talk about all things evil. So, ties falls under that category, in my opinion.
All right, well, in principle, I would prefer not to see ties. You are right. But you know, in this situation, soccer is just such a low scoring game. It's unavoidable.
Why don't they have the thing that they do to decide the playoff games, the free kicks.
Oh, penalty kicks?
Penalty. Well, right. I don't know if they're called penalty kicks, but I don't follow soccer that much. Why don't they do that?
I mean, they could, but
what's the issue with doing that? Wouldn't that be exciting? If at the end of all things, like, oh man, it comes down to this, that's exciting.
Well, yeah, don't get me wrong. I think they really should, the ties should not be involved in this situation. And nothing is more boring than a 0-0 tie.
Oh my gosh.
That, I can't believe.
I would break my TV. I would either break my TV or I don't know what I would do. I'd be so.
That fucking sucked.
I would be so pissed if it was a 0-0 tie.
There's a common enemy! Kill him!
Hey, could you imagine? Well, you can imagine because it happened. If you watch the Eagles
and they tied
for four hours and they tie with the Cincinnati Bengals of all teams.
Yep. Well, now here's something that you need to think of. All right.
Okay. So, I can calm down. I can think.
Good. All right. Now, in soccer, the reason why ties are okay is because in the World Cup system, a win counts. They go by point systems like hockey.
Right.
A win counts as 3 points, a tie counts as 1 point, and a loss is 0 points. So I can kind of understand how a tie is still beneficial in this realm of soccer.
But you just said hockey has points, and they don't have ties anymore.
No. Yeah, hockey got rid of ties, yes.
Why not?
All right. But now
use hockey system.
Hold on. Let me finish. I know you're excited about this. All right.
Go ahead. Now, go ahead. I can hardly stomach this, Rich.
Yes. Now, football.
Okay.
NFL. Real football. NFL.
Oh, boy. Real football.
Sorry. Whatever. I'm sorry. I did soccer. Sorry.
other football.
Yeah.
Football in the
in the NFL. Now, you've got a point. Because the way they treat a tie in NFL
is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Is like the game did not exist. For those that don't know, if a team goes 8-8, they're at 500. You figure that out because they played 16 games. They won 8 of them. 8 divided by 16. That's 50% 500 record.
Right.
But if you tie in the NFL, let's say your record is 8-7-1.
Yep.
You take the 8 wins, but your denominator gets -1, and that's how they handle a tie. So you get 8 divided by 15. It's like the game did not even exist.
In other words, the Eagles 1 year made it to the playoffs over the Cowboys because the Cowboys had a record of 9-7 and the Eagles had a record of 9-6-1.
Right.
Which gave us the higher win percentage.
Right. So the Eagles had 9 divided by 15 and the Cowboys had 9 divided by 16.
Yeah.
So it's like the game did not exist.
So why play the game at all?
Right.
That's my argument.
So in football, you have a leg to in the NFL, you have a leg to stand on. I like your argument.
Okay.
In this soccer realm where there's, you know, it's tough to predict, you know, what's going to happen with like a 1-0 game, a 2-1 game, a 2-2 game, you know, where scoring's very rare. I think they get a pass on it.
Why not implement free kicks?
I mean, also
hockey does the same exact thing. It's the same exact concept, just with a puck and on ice.
Well, it's also more exciting. Well, I'm sorry.
It is much faster.
And more games. You're dealing with 82 games.
That's true.
With the World Cup, you only have 3.
Right. So it makes each game even more – the less games you have, the more important each one is. That's why in baseball, if you lose 80 games, who the hell cares? You have 162 of them. But in soccer, you have 3 games. And now we're 1-0-1.
One defeated!
Well
– Woo!
We have 1.5 wins.
So there you go. Great. We're undefeated, Mike. Shut up.
No, we have 1.5 wins. or we have 1 win.
We have 4 points.
We have half a loss. It doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. I think they could implement some sort of tiebreaker. I mean, obviously, you can't have them do overtime because soccer is very exhausting.
Right.
I've never played it, but watching them, I'm like, oh, my God, this is exhausting.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there you go. Mike having to throw his 2 cents in on how he hates ties. Let's get into something interesting here, though. U.S. soccer now faces Team Germany.
Yeah, another tough team.
And they tied as well. So both the U.S. and Germany are tied with 4 points in their group. And, Mike, I hate to say it to you, but guess what?
What?
The U.S. needs either a miraculous win against Germany, who's a powerhouse, or,
oh God,
if they tie,
oh jeez,
they clinch a spot in the field of 16.
Okay. Well, look, here's the thing. I don't think ties should even be a part of this, but as in the case with the Eagles edging out the Cowboys, when it's beneficial to us, who's going to deny something that's beneficial? But I would rather see the United States go out and actually win. And that's the point of a sport, to say, look, we went into the battlefield. We fought our hardest for our fans, for our country, city, whatever, and we topped our opponent. But if you tie, you're not topping your opponent. You're matching them. That goes against the very concept of sports. Yes, you should have played the sad music when I was actually doing my rant. But it's true. You can't go out and fight for an hour and a half and then merely shake hands and say, oh, forget it just happened. No, you can't just forget it happened. You have to best your opponent. You have to come out on top. That's the point of a competition, is to win, right? Your famous clip, you play to win the game. You don't play to just play, which is tying. That's tying. Tying is just playing to play.
This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out. This whole conversation bothers me.
This whole conversation bothers me too.
I'm sure you're in the same boat now. whole conversation bothers Mike.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm worn out by this conversation. It's hard staying angry for so long.
Well, there you go. Just a quick update on soccer and a major update on why Mike doesn't like ties.
Yeah, that turned into just me ranting. But you know what? It's an interesting debate about sports and ties. And, you know, let us know where you guys stand. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
So let us know. Should ties exist in sports?
Yeah, let us know. Shoot us a tweet or a comment on Facebook, if you will. But for those that are excited for the last round robin game with the U.S. soccer team, they play Team Germany, and it's simple: a win or a tie, and they're in.
So they just have to not completely suck. They just yes. have to suck averagely.
Right.
Okay.
Don't blow it with a goose egg.
And that game is on Thursday, June 26th. So make sure to check it out.
Yep, and hopefully next week we'll be happily reporting that they're in the field of 16.
Yeah.
That would be awesome if they make it.
Let's keep our fingers crossed.
So there you go. The best soccer update that we can do here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
20% soccer and 80% me yelling. That's the type of sports coverage we love here. Oh, you know what, though? All that yelling has got me tuckered out. I think we need to take a little bit of a break.
Uh-oh. You don't get too tuckered out yet.
No, I'm not too tuckered out. But I'm going to need my energy for the entertainment entree coming up. We've got a lot to cover.
A couple of topics to hit at, including a couple of famous movies, some video game news, and a battle between TV and film.
Oh, sounds really exciting, man.
Yeah, so don't go anywhere. The Crispy Noodle Podcast still continues after this break. We'll be right back.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings with top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, and expensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
Oh yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're rested, we're ready to go for our next segment. What is it, Mike?
Well, we cover all things entertaining in the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
And
there we go. It's time for the entertainment entree.
I love that clip. I say that about every clip, but that one.
You love our gibberish talk there.
Nejne obohosa parav ravava telenajasima.
Nejne obosoda rova vitel nizimjabu. we were trying to pronounce foreign words.
Yeah, we had found a thing of the longest word in each language.
And we had to try and pronounce it.
Yeah, and we decided it'd be fun to try and pronounce the words. And I think that was Swedish.
Yeah, we couldn't do it at all.
Yeah. Nejne obohosa parav ravava telenajasima.
Nejne obosoda rova vitel nizimjabu.
We came with
the end of that.
But did you notice that we said two completely different things?
Was it the same word?
It was the same word.
Really?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. Hold on. I got to hear that again.
Obohosaparav ravava telenajasima.
Nezhni obosoda rova vitel nezhimjabu.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
That's the same word. Because the endings are the same, and we both said rava or something like that in the middle.
Fava beans.
Those are the only two parts that were the same. Everything else was completely different.
Wow.
Either one of us can't read, or we both can't speak Swedish.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Probably the latter.
Yeah, probably.
Well, anyway, we like to kick off the entertainment entree with a random sound clip, because we figured, why the hell not?
Yeah, and you know what? We don't know Swedish, but we do know entertainment, Rich.
That's right. And one of the things that we like to cover is music.
Oh, we love a good song here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
Yeah, you gotta love some music. You know what? I'm just gonna dive right into this. Pearl Jam apparently is on tour in Europe right now, and they decided to cover a very famous Disney song.
Oh, could it be the very popular one from a recent movie?
Yes, that one. Good job, Mike.
It's been getting covered by everybody recently.
It is. The popular song from the movie Frozen. It's Disney's Let It Go, and Pearl Jam decided to cover it in the middle of their set. I believe they played it in the middle of their song Daughter. And, they just gave like a quick, 30-second cover of their version of Let It Go.
Well, that's just amazing. I mean, everybody's been covering this and parroting it. It's just a great song. I love hearing it all the different ways.
Yep, so let's hear Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam's version of Let It Go. Let's play the clip. So there you go, Pearl Jam trying to do their own version of Let It Go in the middle of their set list their European tour. What did you think, Mike?
Pretty good. Staying true to the Pearl Jam way. Couldn't understand a damn thing. Except for Let It Go. It was Let It Go. Snow.
Don't even bother for the rest of the lyrics. Yeah. Just snow. There you go.
No, I mean, it was good. I like Pearl Jam. I think they're great. And Let It Go is great. So the two of them together is doubly great.
Yeah. I just think it's ridiculous how popular this song is getting. It's
everywhere. Gosh. It really is everywhere.
Yep. And now Pearl Jam trying to give their own cover of it. You know what? I'm glad that they stuck to the refrain part of that song.
Yeah.
As opposed to going with the lyrics.
Yeah, because, I mean, at least the refrain people can recognize. But if they had done the actual lyrics with their style of singing, it would have been difficult to figure out what was happening.
I don't care anymore. What? What was that?
Funny story with Pearl Jam, though, is back when Rock Band was really popular. My brother comes up to me one day and he goes, "Hey, Mike, what's that one song in Rock Band where the guy goes?" And I go, "Oh, that's the song Pearl. That's the song from Pearl Jam. What was the song? Alive?
Alive? Oh, yeah. I'm still alive. It's like he's yodeling the whole time.
Yeah, and that's what my brother said. He said, "What's that song where the guy is just screaming?" I said, "Oh, Alive by Pearl Jam."
Yeah, but you knew it right off the top of your head?
Yeah, because they have that style, that signature style of being incomprehensible.
Yeah.
That's a style. Look at Nirvana, right?
I mean, Nirvana...
Come on, Teen Spirit, name me one lyric out of Team Spirit.
Mosquito, my libido.
Okay.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah.
All right, new rule. I can never sing. I can never sing a Nirvana song.
Hey,
I don't have the emotional complex.
You're the upbeat Nirvana. It's like the regular Nirvana is like, oh, depression, sadness, teen angst, and you're like, da 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 da. Hey. A mosquito, oh my libido. Right? You're like,
yeah.
You're like ready to go. Smiles
and out, that is dangerous. Here we are now, entertain us.
I'm too upbeat for Nirvana.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I want to hear you cover Nirvana songs now.
I can eat your cancer when you come back.
That sounds serial killer like.
Yeah,
I can eat your cancer. Yeah. It tastes so good.
Yep.
I can never sing Nirvana.
Oh,
new rule of thumb.
All right, so Pearl Jam can't sing Frozen and you can't sing Nirvana.
No.
But it's still fun to hear both of you try. That's the point.
Thanks.
That's a compliment. It's fun.
Come as you are, as you were, as I want you to be. Hey!
Very good.
I'm too upbeat.
I like the upbeat Nirvana. It's not so depressing.
All right, well, there you go. Two new rules for everybody to remember. Pearl Jam probably, well, you know what? No.
Pearl Jam did all right
with Let It Go. So actually it's only one rule. I can't sing Nirvana. Excuse me. So there you go. Just an interesting clip. Pearl Jam was doing their European tour and decided to cover the famous song Let It Go from Frozen. And I thought they did a good job with it. So.
They did do a good job.
All right, now let's get to our next topic here, and this is something I'm passionate about, and that is the Batman film franchise. And the first one by Tim Burton, the movie that is just called Batman, simply Batman. We're
just
not messing
Batman.
Around here. Well, Batman.
Well, that's all they needed. I mean, they, from what I understand, it's got an amazing cast.
Yep. That film with Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson, just the star-studded cast there, is now officially 25 years old.
Yikes.
Yeah, officially 25 years old this week.
Oh, boy.
So,
that shows how old we are, because that came out in 89, didn't it?
That's right.
Oh, boy.
That's right. So, 89, a good year.
Yes. Batman and both of us were born.
Yeah.
And other stuff, too, but, you know. Those were the three main things.
I think the fall of the Berlin Wall also happened that year, too.
Yeah. You know, one of those minor things.
I thought you were a history major.
I don't know.
All right. Putting that degree to good use. All right, Mike.
Hey, look, I don't know. Right now, my internet isn't working, so I can't even check.
Okay. Well, anyway, I figured something that would be fun would be to go over a couple of just little facts that you might not have known about the 1989 version of Batman.
Okay. Well, what do you got for us?
All right. This is presented by BuzzFeed.com. Here you go. First thing off the list, Tim Burton was offered the chance to direct the Batman film after his success with Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
So based off of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, they thought, this is the guy that we want directing Batman.
Yeah. A little odd there.
Hey, whatever works. Whatever works, right?
Yep. What might be even more odder are the actors that were originally considered for the role of Batman. Here were the top three names heading into the final round of who could have been the first Batman in the modern era.
Okay.
Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he could be a good Bruce Wayne, but I don't think he could be a good Batman.
No.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is one of my favorite actors.
He's a great actor.
One of the best, but not Batman.
Yeah.
I don't think.
And perhaps the strangest, Bill Murray. Yeah. Could you imagine Bill Murray as Batman?
I don't think. No. That would not. No, that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
I can't picture that at all.
Yeah.
Just he's Venkman. Just stay as Venkman.
Yeah. He's too comedic.
Yeah.
For Batman. You know, you think of Batman as brooding and not scary, but dark and ominous. But
right.
Bill
not
Murray
funny.
Just, yeah.
Too funny.
Yeah.
Well, when it was announced that Michael Keaton was cast as the Bruce Wayne and Batman character for this movie, Warner Brothers received 50,000 handwritten angry letters from comic book fans who felt he was going to be the wrong choice.
Boy, that reminds me of a recent Batman casting.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right?
History repeats itself.
Yeah, and maybe, what the hell is his name?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. Maybe he'll go on to be just as good as Michael Keaton.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Here's a fun fact that I love.
Okay.
Good old Adam West, even though he was 60 years old in 1989, reportedly was very depressed that he was not offered any role in the 1989 movie.
Adam West, a little bit softer now. Adam West.
It's okay, Adam West. You will always have a spot here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. They should have given him some type of cameo, though.
Yeah, just like a short cameo, like, something.
Yeah, like I don't know, just some like random
like a newspaper
dude.
Reporter,
yeah.
or something.
Who was? Did they have the Butler? Was he cast in that?
Was he
in
Alfred,
the movie?
Yeah,
Alfred.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, why did they give him the role of Alfred?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, you're right. Maybe a cameo, something.
Yeah.
But yep, he was apparently very depressed that he was not offered any role.
Oh, that's sad.
All right, here's something else that's interesting. Jack Nicholson was always the first choice to play the Joker in this film.
Okay.
But he initially declined the role. And guess who they offered the Joker part to?
I don't know who.
Another well-known comedic actor, Robin Williams.
I could actually see that.
You think you could have pulled off the Joker?
I think so.
I don't know, because the Joker, you got to be more psychopathic.
I think Robin Williams could pull that off, though.
Really?
Yeah, because he's already pretty deranged in his rambling. So all he has to do is drop his voice, a couple of pitches, and you've got Crazy Joker, you know? Maybe not so high energy. I'm used to seeing the Heath Ledger Joker, so I'm thinking of that, but that was a really dark adaptation. I think Robin Williams could have pulled it off.
Well, you know what? He's had previous dark roles. You ever see One Hour Photo?
I have not.
He plays a stalker that like follows a family through their family photographs. Strangely dark and dramatic. And Robin Williams pulled it off.
Yeah, and you see though, he doesn't have to be dark or dramatic for Joker though.
You don't think so?
Maybe. Like you said, psychopathic, but not dark. This past Joker was dark, but I don't know about... See, I don't know. I've actually never seen the Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah, I can't believe that. Yeah.
Well, like I said before the show, I was never a fan of Batman when I was a kid. I was always a Spider-Man fan. Yeah. So Batman just didn't interest me.
Yeah, but you know, you got to see. You got to at least see the
I might have to go back and watch it, yeah.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. It's a good one.
Okay.
It's a good one.
I've seen Batman and Robin starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No!
I still see you, Batman.
Stop it!
I'm going to put you in the cooler.
No.
No?
No.
No? The nipple suit?
No.
No?
No. You comparing Batman and Robin as your first Batman experience.
My first Batman experience.
Would be like me comparing Spider-Man 3 as my first Spider-Man experience.
Yeah.
So,
I can see how that's pretty bad.
No.
But anyway.
Yeah. Let's
get
back
to the good Batman.
Yeah. Let's get back to the list here. Besides Jack Nicholson and Robin Williams, other actors who were considered for the role of the Joker included William Dafoe, which I think that would have been an interesting...
We saw he pulled off the Green Goblin, and the Green Goblin is very similar to how the Joker acts.
Yeah. David Bowie, which that would have been interesting, too.
Would have been interesting, but I think either William Dafoe or Robin Williams would have been better than him.
And Tim Curry, which I think that's just creepy. Yeah. Not to say that he's not a good actor, but Tim Curry's just creepy.
The first two I could see, but not the second two.
Yeah. we don't need Tim Curry in more creepy roles.
No.
Also, there was going to be a Robin cameo at the end of the movie, but it was written out of the script as it was viewed as too irrelevant to the main plot of the story. But had they had kept the Robin cameo in the plot, Kiefer Sutherland was going to be an early Dick Grayson Robin character.
Wow.
Yeah, how do you like that?
I can't picture him like that. But, I mean, I don't know how he looked back in 1989.
He looked pretty good.
So, I mean, maybe...
Very young looking, yeah.
Yeah, he could have pulled it off.
He had that, like, long flowing blonde hair, but not so much that it's like a mullet. Just that, like, extra, like just a little bit long.
Like medium length.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what he, like I said, I don't know what he looked like back then, but maybe if what you say is true. You know what though? You see, that just got me thinking something very interesting. Back then, it would have been considered irrelevant. But today, every superhero movie ends with that type of cameo.
Yeah.
Marvel.
Some sort of cameo.
Remember the end of the Batman Begins? They had that little scene where he's
with
like,
the Joker. The Joker. Joker card, yeah.
Or at the end of the first Iron Man where it's like, oh, I'm... what's his name? I can't remember his name now.
Nick Fury, part of the Shield.
Yeah. Superhero movies, that's their bread and butter now, is that reveal at the end.
Yeah.
I think
that whets your appetite for the next one.
Yeah, that's very interesting, the shift in the industry.
Yeah, and they thought it was too irrelevant. They thought people wouldn't understand Robin.
Wow. So there you go, a little bit of sort of superhero cinema history.
Yeah. And this one, I didn't realize. This film, Batman, the one that's made in 1989, is still the only live-action Batman movie where there's only one supervillain.
Really?
Yeah. How do you like that? Think about it. Even in the Nolan
movies.
That's true.
Batman Begins had Ra's al Ghul and Scarecrow.
Right. That's two.
The Joker and Two-Face.
That's two.
And Bane and, I guess, Talia al Ghul?
Yeah, and technically Catwoman, depending on how you want to align that.
Catwoman I always viewed as more of an ally than an enemy.
She can go both ways.
Yeah.
No, not in that way, dirty mind people.
Well, I wasn't thinking that way, but now I can't stop thinking about it that way.
The Batman universe, I think, is always the most interesting.
It's a very kinky universe.
Yeah.
When you think about it. Everybody's just, well, superheroes in general, they're all just running around in latex and spandex. I mean, it's crazy. But anyway, so yeah, that's interesting. It's the only single villain Batman movie.
Yeah, outright, there's only one villain, Batman versus Joker, period.
And even in the crappy one that I saw, Batman and Robin had Iceman, not Iceman.
Iceman.
I told you, I'm a Marvel guy.
Yeah.
What the hell's his name?
Mr. Freeze.
And Poison Ivy, yeah.
And Bane.
Bane was in that too. Yeah.
Early incarnation of
Bane. Oh, that was an awful
version
of Bane, though.
Very bad.
But, God. Anyway, so yep. Back to the good Batman.
Yep, and let's end it on this one. The 1989 Batman was the highest grossing film based on any DC comic book until 2008's The Dark Knight. And, of course, that one was awesome with Heath Ledger as the
Joker. Wait, it even was higher grossing than Batman Begins?
Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's actually kind of surprising.
Yep.
Because Batman Begins was really good.
It was, but I think people were still...
They were thinking Batman was kind of hokey still at that point. I mean, Batman and Robin.
They weren't sold on it until The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have Batman and Robin to thank for that, because that basically killed the Batman franchise.
Can you stop bringing up Batman and
Batman
Robin?
Batman and Robin.
Will you shut up
Batman
about
and Robin?
Spider-Man 3!
No!
Spider-Man 3!
No!
Spider-Man
no.
3! All right? This goes both ways, all right? We both have our bad movies,
yeah,
Mr. Marvel, all right? You're even wearing red right now.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
And you're wearing black.
Yeah. I'm representing.
We're going to have to throw down after this episode.
I'm getting angry.
No, remember we had that conversation about which movie we would want to bury in a landfill?
And you
picked Batman and Robin, and I picked Spider-Man 3.
We stay true to our roots.
Yeah, we are passionate about our comic book movies here and our superheroes.
Yep.
We take this stuff seriously.
Well, there you go. For DC, our first major hit, Batman, the 1989 version, turns 25 years old today. So, there you go. Very intense. I wasn't expecting that one to be so intense.
Yeah, but you know, it made it an interesting segment.
Yep. You know who else didn't think they were going to have an intense episode happen to them?
I think, of course, you're referring to Mr. Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
What happened with Harrison Ford?
For those that haven't kept track of the news that's going on the set of Star Wars Episode 7, A very unfortunate incident happened with Harrison Ford. I am not making this up, folks. A hydraulic door from the set of the Millennium Falcon fell on Harrison Ford, who is 71 years old.
Wow.
That is not good for a man his age.
No. It's not good for anybody.
It's not good for anybody.
I mean, if you had a fit 20-year-old get caught under a hydraulic door, they'd probably still get injured.
Yeah.
But what was the outcome of this accident?
Harrison Ford suffered a broken leg,
ooh,
which needed surgery. Luckily, doctors have said that the surgery is successful. But unfortunately, this knocks out Harrison Ford for at least 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. So they have to delay filming for about 2 months.
Yeah, or at least rearrange the shooting schedule so that Harrison Ford doesn't do his shoots in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, they could shoot, you know, most of the other scenes without him, but for his scenes, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. So,
but you know what? Some good news. The Millennium Falcon is back.
Yeah, that's good.
Han Solo is apparently involved with it somehow.
Yep, that does mean the good old Millennium Falcon and Harrison Ford will be back. But is this a bad omen?
You know what? No, accidents happen. You know, it's just a freak thing. I mean, I guess tighter security and more checks and precautions. I think it'll be fine. I don't see this as a bad omen. Why do you? Are you superstitious when it comes to film stuff?
Well, are you ready for what I'm going to say here?
Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
Thanks, Mike.
What are you going to say?
I think this is reminiscent of how A New Hope was made.
Okay.
Art from adversity. For those that might not be huge fans of the Star Wars universe, the very first Star Wars movie, Episode 4, there were so many problems that George Lucas had to face making that movie, between the fact that like R2-D2 didn't really work, the aliens weren't very alien-y at the time of their production,
right?
The special effects weren't really working. I think it's kind of reminiscent of how A New Hope started out. So I'm kind of getting like a vibe that maybe
a little bit of nostalgic vibe of.
Yeah, that maybe this is going to be a case where J.J. Abrams is going to have to show that he can make art from adversity.
And you know what? Now that you bring that up, I'm thinking back to another big-name director in Steven Spielberg. Two movies that were plagued with problems. Of course, I'm talking about Jaws and Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Both featured animatronics that refused to work.
Yeah.
Jaws, they put a mechanical shark in the water. Who, you know, it's not really going to work out. But, of course, that led to the famous way that the shark never makes an appearance until the very end.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park, the T-Rex didn't work at all in the rain scenes because, again, the animatronics were getting wet. But it had some of the most realistic dinosaurs in film, I think, even to this day.
Yeah.
So art from adversity, that's a very good catchphrase. It's proven time and again that you can make great art from adversity.
Yeah, and oftentimes it surpasses you know, regular movies.
Just thinking back, this is crazy that another one featuring Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, with the scene where he goes up against a sword fighter, and it's a great scene, and he just pulls out his gun and shoots him. Harrison Ford was having serious stomach issues that day, that shoot, and so he literally didn't have the energy, the time, or the patience to do a choreographed sword fight, and just pulled out his gun and shot the swordsman.
Yeah, and that's
made it into the final cut.
That's one of the most memorable scenes of Indiana Jones.
Yeah. So, there you go.
So, yeah, I'm hoping that this is kind of a good omen.
A good omen. See, when you say omen, I think bad. Right. You know? But I guess it can be a good sign.
So, I'm flipping it and reversing it.
It's a good omen.
I think it's a good omen.
Okay. Unless it falls again.
Yeah, unless it falls again.
Oh, then God. They should just stop making the movie because
everyone back away.
Nobody's allowed in the Millennium Falcon.
No more. But there you go. An update on the set of Star Wars Episode 7. Harrison Ford injured, but he will be out for only 6 to 8 weeks. And then he'll be back shooting his scenes for the movie. But now we're going to get into some video game news here. And this is just a story that we've been following because we like the concept of this video game feature that could be on PlayStation 4's But unfortunately, there's some negative feedback to this. Isn't that right, Mike?
Yeah, we're both big Sony fans here at the Crispy Noodle. And we've been following the feature of PlayStation Now very closely because it's being dubbed as a Netflix for video games. It would be a streaming service that would allow gamers to stream video games to the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 3, as well as non-Sony products such as laptops, mobile devices, or even Sony-branded TVs. So the hope is that you could play whatever game you wanted, whenever you wanted, on a multitude of devices. Yeah, they get a trophy for that. It's amazing. What's not so amazing, though, are some of the pricing options that have leaked from the closed beta going on right now. It's kind of out of left field, these prices, Rich. Yeah, from what I'm looking at, it's not looking very good for PlayStation Now if the pricing structure stays this way. Let me give you an example. Saints Row the Third, which came out a few years ago, you can rent it for 3 months for $30, or you could just buy the game for $20.
That doesn't seem to make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yeah. I think a lot of people were expecting that this was going to like follow like Netflix.
Yeah, and instead we get these very strange rental periods.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like what video gamers want.
Yeah, you can rent a game for 4 hours, 7 days, 30 days, or 90 days, and each one is priced differently. I'm seeing some games that go for as high as $5 for just 4 hours. Why would you pay $5 for just 4 hours of gameplay?
Yeah.
That seems kind of strange.
Speed runs?
Yeah. Maybe if you're planning to play the whole game in 4 hours, but how many games can you beat in just 4 hours?
Yeah.
I'm seeing other games here where the rental price is the exact same as just downloading the game. Why wouldn't you just download the game?
Yeah. Why would you rent it?
Yeah. I'm seeing some indie games here, download only. The rental price is $10. And the retail price is $10. I think this is sort of a problem for Sony here.
Yeah.
Because this could have been the killer feature if they had done a Netflix pricing structure. Even if they charged $100 for a year subscription, I could see people paying that. I would pay that.
Yeah, because then you wouldn't have to go buy games.
Yeah, play whatever game you want on basically any device. Put it on your phone, put it on your Sony TV, put it on your system. It would be perfect. Now, of course, there is a silver lining to this in that Sony has said in the beta agreement that the pricing structure isn't finalized yet. They're examining other methods and other alternative pricing.
Oh, good for you!
Christian Bale doesn't like it. he's afraid that this is what it's going to stay.
Well, we're hoping that it changes.
Good for you.
I really hope that is true, that this is just the beta pricing. The thing that worries me is that PlayStation Now is supposed to go into open beta at the end of July. So this is going to go from very soon. It's going to go from just testing this out to this being the final price structure by the end of July. Can they pull off a change? I mean, I guess it wouldn't be that complicated to change the prices, but
they're going to have to.
If they launch with these prices,
no, it's not going to. It's not going to work.
It's not. Let's put it this way: would you ever pay $30 for just 3 months of a game?
No.
Yeah, it's a simple answer.
No, I might as well just bump up to $59.99 and get the game.
Yeah, but the thing is, most of these games are old. You can buy most of these games for $20.
And that doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah, why pay $10 more to only own the game for 3 months?
Yeah.
And now you're not even owning it, you're streaming it, remember. So this isn't downloaded to your system, you're streaming it. So if you have spotty internet one day, or if the stream just sucks, you're paying $30 for 3 months of a sub-quality experience.
Yeah. They're definitely going to need to change the structure with this, because if it goes into live beta... the way it is right now, it's not going to take off from the ground.
Yeah, it's already drawing some flack from online publications like Forbes and Game Informer.
That's pretty bad when Forbes is saying your pricing model sucks.
And also, Game Informer is one of the biggest gaming news outlets in the game industry. So for both of these organizations to come out and say that it's a problem, not only that, but all the gamers, of course, are complaining.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like a Netflix thing where you just pay your monthly subscription fee and that would be it.
Yeah, that would be the best.
Yeah.
That would be the outright best. But as it stands now, you can't even pay Netflix prices. I mean, for $8 only gets you a 7-day rental of one game.
That's not going to work.
Yeah. It's just, I'm really hoping that they see the light and listen to the fans on this one.
Yep. Because you know what? If they don't, they'll just go out and buy the old video games themselves. They won't need PlayStation Now.
Yeah, and that's that would kill the service.
Yep.
That would defeat the purpose of it.
Well, you know what? Speaking of buying old video games, if you want to, you know, do some retro video game shopping or retro video game playing, there's something that you can check out this weekend called the Too Many Games Convention, which will be at the Greater Philadelphia Exposition Center in Oaks, Pennsylvania. And guess what? Me and Mike are going to be there this weekend.
That's right. We're going to be there with our media passes.
Yeah. But yeah, bottom line is we're going to be there this weekend. Let us know if you're going to be there. Tweet at us at the Crispy Noodle or leave a comment on our Facebook page. And yeah.
It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I love it. I had so much fun last year.
Oh, my gosh.
Playing all the retro video games. You know, it's literally any video game system you can imagine will be there.
Yeah, all the way from the original Atari up to the latest systems.
Yep. So definitely, you know, if you're not doing anything this weekend, head up to Oaks, PA, Greater Philadelphia Exposition Center, Too Many Games Convention. We will be there.
That's right. Look for us. I don't know when we're going to go, but we'll be there, sometime between June 27th and June 29th. Let us know if you're going, and maybe we can hang out.
Yeah, we'll be there interviewing people and doing all sorts of crazy things.
And playing lots of games.
Of course. So, very excited, looking forward to that. But we got one more topic in the entertainment entree, and it's a story brought on by one of my favorite actors in the past year, good old Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right. but apparently he said something a little bit buzzworthy. Isn't that right, Mike?
Yeah, that's right. In the midst of this reconnaissance hype.
Yes.
Matthew McConaughey recently won the Critics' Choice Award for Best Actor in a Drama Series for his role on HBO's True Detective. It's what he said during the acceptance speech, though, that has some people very interested. He acknowledged some questions about why a successful film actor would shift to television, and he simply said, quality. Television is raising the bar on character-driven dramas. So
wow.
He's laying it all out there. TV has surpassed film. But the question that I have for you, Rich, is he true in that statement? Is he right? Is he correct? It's a tough question. It's a loaded question.
Yeah, it's very tough because...
And it's multifaceted, too.
Yeah, because I feel like both mediums, or both media, have their advantages and disadvantages.
That's very true.
You know, with TV shows, you know, episodic content, you can always have a story and another story and another story, and the stories don't have to end necessarily. They can always keep going. A movie is kind of more finite. You only have 2 hours or so to tell your story. But then at the same time, that kind of makes it more advantageous because, you know, you're not, you know, going on, you know, a serious commitment. You know, you go to a movie because you want to be distracted for 2 hours and you want to see something interesting.
Right.
A TV show is more of a commitment. You want to follow
something.
It's
an investment, yeah. When you watch a show like Lost or Breaking Bad or The Walking Dead, that's a huge investment right there.
Right.
You're talking about, you know, 16 to 20 weeks, an hour each week, and then you got to come back for 5, 4, 5, 4, 6 years. I know I said those numbers out of order.
Yeah.
A lot of numbers there.
I'm not a numbers person. So. But the point is that it is a large commitment, a large investment. And also, the fact that he said that TV is raising the bar on character-driven dramas, I agree.
That I'd say is true, yeah.
Because when you think about it, here's the issue with the current film industry, is that movie producers are trying to cram as much into an hour and a half as possible. It's very rare nowadays to see those 2.5, 3-hour dramas. You know, the market is geared towards those 1.5 to 2-hour tentpole films, those big action blockbusters, right?
Right.
And you can't cram that much character development into an hour and a half. It's just simply really tough to do. Movies still do it, of course. You look at a movie like Inception. I think that was a phenomenal movie, one of our favorites, of course. But it's much easier to take a character like Walter White in Breaking Bad and have him develop over the course of 5, 16-episode seasons. You're looking at over 50 hours of screen time compared to 2 for a major theatrical release.
Yeah.
It's much easier to have that slow, brooding, methodical character development with lots of intricate symbolism and themes and narrative devices going on compared to a 2-hour race to the finish.
Well, there you go. Matthew McConaughey, some buzzworthy comments saying that TV is surpassing film.
Buzzworthy, but not totally untrue.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So there you go. And with that statement, I think that will wrap up this entertainment entree. Whoa, a lot of topics to deal with. Isn't that right, Mike?
Oh, my gosh. We covered music and movies and video games. Oh, my gosh. So much.
Yep. You might seem full after a course like that, but don't forget about dessert. And this dessert on our Crispy Noodle podcast is the non-fortune cookie odd news, arguably one of the best segments you will ever hear. So get ready for this week's dosage of odd news coming your way. More of the Crispy Noodle podcast coming up.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name, selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at trashcity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom, we are online only. Visit us at trashcity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and we've got one of our exciting segments coming up. I believe it's your favorite portion of the show. Isn't that right, Mike?
It is my absolute favorite segment. It is the wild, the wacky, the always crazy non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
In your face! Ha ha!
All right. It's time for this week's batch of odd news. Mike, you want to explain how this works?
I will do so. For those of you that don't know, here with the odd news segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He keeps all of the articles that he's found over the week hidden and safe from me. I have no idea what he's about to read. So all my reactions are my first time genuine reactions. I have no idea what's in store for me. So it's always a surprise for me, for the listeners, for Rich even, because he never knows what tangent we're going to go on, and we've gone on many in the
past. Every time I have something ready, we keep going off on a different tangent, and then I have to go back and I lose it.
That's right.
I get very excited.
But that's the great thing about the non-fortune cookie odd news. So without further delay, I'm ready to get into this, Rich.
All right, let's dive right in, and let's do a little bit of a minor update here.
We've been having updates the past couple of weeks, haven't we?
I do follow-up work.
Yeah.
I make sure that, you know, we get the latest information.
No, I love that because we get to, you know, think back on some of the funny odd news stories we had in weeks past. So what story is having a minor update?
All right. Well, do you remember the classic Swiss cheese pervert?
Not again.
No.
Oh, okay.
The man that is known as the Swiss cheese pervert, who was accused of using Swiss cheese to sexually proposition unsuspecting women.
Of course.
Officially pleaded guilty to all the charges that were levied on him. 41-year-old Christopher Pagano of Norristown.
Yay, Norristown.
Yep, Norristown, fantastic. Drove up to women on several occasions and offered them money to put cheese on his genitals and perform a sexual act. As a result, he'll be sentenced to 8 years of probation.
Oh my gosh.
So it is confirmed. He did do it and he fessed up to it.
Really? I don't see a way that he could have gotten out of that though. I mean, you're running up to people and putting cheese on your junk. I mean, you know, seems pretty.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Seems like a simple scenario, right?
Yeah, that's Norristown.
So, luckily, the cheese, what's his name? The cheese pervert? The Swiss cheese?
The Swiss cheese pervert.
Swiss cheese pervert. He will not be tormenting people anymore.
No, or else he will go to jail because he's sentenced to 8 years of probation. All right, now let's get into some new odd news.
All right, I am ready.
All right, let's do this one first. Authorities say that a Connecticut man who told his probation officer he wasn't foolish enough to bring drugs into a courthouse did hide 19 bags of pot in his socks.
Oh my
gosh. When he showed up to court.
I guess he was dumb enough to bring drugs into court.
Darren Shelley is scheduled to return next week to the Stanford Superior Court on a new charge, possession with intent to sell. Authorities tell local newspapers that 22-year-old Darren Shelley reeked of marijuana when he met with his probation officer. When the officer asked about it, Shelley allegedly said that, quote, "I'm not a fool and I do not bring drugs with me into court." But the officer said that a simple pat down at the courthouse revealed that he had bags of pot in his socks.
That must be uncomfortable. How many? 19?
19 bags of pot in his socks.
That seems uncomfortable. You know when you get a little pebble stuck in your shoe? He has 19 bags?
Yep.
Wouldn't his shoes feel kind of cramped at that point?
Squishy? You got all that pot?
I don't know. That would seem very uncomfortable to me.
Well, he is arrested and being held on $5,000 bond. Yeah, don't bring drugs with you to your court hearing.
Yeah, what was
it
he
will
have,
not make you
what
relaxed.
Was he having a court hearing for? Selling drugs?
I think so.
And he was trying to sell drugs at the court hearing for selling drugs.
Yes.
And he wonders why he's in court.
Yeah.
I did everything right, man. I don't know what's wrong.
Drugception.
Drugs. we always find a way to force Inception in there, don't we?
We love that movie. All right, so you ready for our next story?
Yes, of course.
An Oregon woman was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries after she was hurt when her porta potty exploded at a local baseball park.
How does a porta potty explode? Did somebody put an explosive in there? Or
yep.
Oh, man.
Carrie Finch was in the portable restroom when a suspicious device exploded.
That is just the worst day ever. I don't care. Yeah. I wouldn't. See, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't care about the explosion. I'd be more upset that I'm covered in like porta potty stuff.
Mm.
You know, delicious, right?
Well, unfortunately, the explosion did cause an injury to her head. Ooh. The 40-year-old needed two staples in her head as a result of the incident.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they stapled people's heads.
Yeah, if you need
it. Don't they usually do stitches?
Well, she needed staples.
Okay. I'm not sure what type of injury that is. We'll just staple it back together. What state was this in?
Oregon.
Don't get head trauma in Oregon.
Yeah. They like staples.
They'll staple you back together.
That was easy.
Just bring her down to the local Staples. They'll take care of everything.
That was easy.
Oh, my gosh.
Carrie Finch says that I did not see a wick. I did not smell anything. So
wait,
it had
wait, she didn't see a wick. What does she think this is, a cartoon bomb?
Yeah, like Acme and like the TNT. Yeah,
it's got Acme printed on one side and the skull and crossbones. It's like a big, giant black bowling ball type bomb.
Yeah.
Come on now. That's not real life.
Well, she said, I happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, porta potty.
Yeah. After the park explosion, two other devices also exploded in mailboxes in the area.
Oh, my gosh.
According to the local sergeant of the sheriff's office, all the explosions are believed to be connected. The sheriff says, quote, we don't know what the intention was, but whatever it was, it's reckless, and it caused injury. We're now looking for a suspect for assault. So if
this, wow, this is actually pretty serious.
Yeah, so if this was a prank, it's now turning into a criminal case.
That's an awful prank. Honestly, who thinks, oh, I'm going to blow somebody up? That's hilarious.
Just like that.
Yep, just like that.
Oh, but that does suck.
That does suck. On more than one account. I mean, first, you're in an explosion, which I'm sure is awful. Second, you're covered in porta potty juices. And third, the doctors just staple you back together and send you on your way.
Yeah, you're fine after that.
That was easy.
And they might have a serial bomber on the loose. Oh, my gosh. That's just bad news left and right in that story.
Yeah. But, yep, a porta potty explosion happened.
Well, luckily nobody was seriously injured.
No.
I mean, more so than whatever happened to that woman.
Yeah, just Carrie Finch, two staples in her head.
That was easy.
All right, you ready for our next story?
Yep.
Two people have been sentenced to jail for carrying out a bacon attack on Edinburgh Central Mosque.
A mosque.
Yeah.
Oh. They don't eat pork, do they?
No.
Oh. So what is that? Like a hate crime then, maybe? I don't know. That's interesting.
Douglas Cruikshank and Chelsea Lambie.
They sound like criminals.
Cruikshank.
Whose name is Cruikshank and isn't a criminal?
That sounds like a duo. Cruikshank and Lambie.
Doesn't this sound like a 19...
Coming soon, Cruikshank and Lambie.
Yeah, see here. We're going to throw bacon in the mosque. There's a stick-up, see?
A stick up a bacon, see?
Doesn't this sound like a 1920s...
Cruikshank.
Like gangster duo?
Yeah.
Cruikshank and Lambie. It just screams criminal to me. But anyway, so the stereotypical names aside, what happened?
Cruikshank and Lambie tossed strips of bacon in the window of the mosque and wrapped pieces of pork around all the door handles of the place of worship.
That's not cool.
Cruikshank pleaded guilty, but Lambie denied being involved in the attack despite having a message in her cell phone reading, quote, I went to the mosque in Edinburgh and wrapped bacon around the door handles.
What an idiot.
I opened the door and threw it in. Ha 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 ha, LOL.
Oh my god, I didn't do it. And there's like step-by-step directions for what she did.
First, let me take a selfie.
Yeah, she might as well have just taken a selfie at the mosque with her bacon.
How does
attack.
She explain the text? Oh, my fingers accidentally input that? It was a joke?
Yeah, I was documenting what happened to somebody I thought
I was
doing it.
I was writing a first-person fiction about about the assault of bacon on the mosque.
And then I was going to take a picture of myself with the bacon.
But first, let me take a selfie.
Oh, my God. Yep. Lambie was sentenced to 12 months in jail, and Douglas Cruikshank was given a 9-month sentence, and they were both convicted of threatening and abusive behavior. So I guess, yeah, I guess that is kind of more serious since it was some religious sentiment here.
Yeah, I think, I'm not entirely sure. I might be wrong, but I think they don't eat pork.
No.
So, I think that's pretty serious then. That's not cool.
No, but she had a detailed reading on her cell phone.
Yeah.
I went to the mosque in Edinburgh. She even gives the location.
The location.
Not any other mosque. This specific one.
Because there's so many mosques in, where was this?
Edinburgh.
I know. It's like a blow by blow. It's like a play by play.
Yeah.
It's like step one. I went to the Edinburgh Mosque on 123 Evergreen Terrace.
Two, I wrapped bacon around all the door handles.
Three, I laughed maniacally with my criminal partner. Yeah.
LOL. Ha 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 ha.
My criminal partner, Mr. Cruikshanks,
yeah,
was with me on this caper.
Yep. This is the details of Cruikshank and Lambie.
It's like she wrote herself a diary entry.
Yeah.
Detailing exactly
Maybe she's going to write a book, Cruikshank and Lambie, coming soon.
You know what? I'm going to call dibs on that name for a book, because that sounds so evil, doesn't
Cruikshank.
It? Cruikshank and Lambie.
Yeah.
It really does sound like a 1920s gangster duo.
Ah, Cruikshank and Lambie.
Ah, see here. Just twirling their mustaches and tying people to railroad tracks.
Throwing bacon. And
throwing bacon. One of those things is not like the other.
There you go there. All right, and guess what?
What?
It's time to go to our Florida segment of the non-fortune cookie odd news.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy. With our all-new opening for Florida stories, right?
Yeah.
Loving it.
Apparently you had a conversation with Al Pacino at some point.
Yep, all the time.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy. Because when Al Pacino's angry, you have to answer him in song.
Yep.
It makes him calmer.
All right, you ready for our... actually, we've got two Florida stories here.
Two Florida stories.
Two.
Are we going back to back with Florida?
Yeah.
It's Florida, and they're crazy. So how crazy is Florida today?
All right, well, we're going to go first with this duo here in a Florida prison.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
Is this duo as awesome as Cruikshank and Lambie?
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
Let me read the news article as it is. Here's a life tip. Shooting yourself with a gun you smuggled into prison won't get you a reduced sentence. We know this because Deshendra Billups and Kurt Cartwright know this.
Cartwright for?
Yes, Seinfeld. Cartwright? The two Florida inmates, along with a couple others, were arrested in what authorities describe as a plot to sue the Florida Department of Corrections.
It's Florida, and they're crazy. I'm seeing some major loopholes in this logic.
The department began its investigation after Billups and Cartwright were shot with a .25 caliber Beretta inside the Columbia Correction Institution. 33-year-old Cartwright and 26-year-old Billups told guards that, quote, "We were shot by an unknown assailant."
Yeah, right.
While we were praying in our cell.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. With the American flag draped around them.
Yeah.
You know, watching baseball all like wholesome and polite. Yeah, right.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
So you're telling me that an unnamed assailant somehow snuck into the prison with a handgun, shot two people, and escaped.
While they were praying.
And escaped with nobody noticing.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
With the help.
That story is so stupid. It would have been more logical if you said, yeah, I accidentally shot myself. Can I get some medical attention and get out of here? Oh, my God.
With the help of friends and family members, the suspects allegedly smuggled the semi-automatic pistol into the prison through the mail. They allegedly had...
How does that get in the prison in the mail? This is the worst prison in the country.
They obviously don't have x-rays in the Florida prisons here.
It's Florida, and they're crazy. And according to these two bozos, unnamed assailants can just waltz in with a handgun and shoot people.
Yeah. The duo allegedly had plans to shoot themselves and sue the prison system in an effort to settle for reduced sentences.
Oh, my gosh.
In addition, authorities say that they regularly snuck in cell phones and drugs into the prison as well. As a result, they now face 5 new felony charges, including firearm possession and several counts of contraband possession for the cell phones.
That's karma right there.
Yep. Although it might be a moot point, as Cartwright is already serving a life sentence for murder, and Billups is serving 20 years for armed robbery.
He's a life sentence? What are you hoping to gain? I mean, what? Oh, my God.
Can I get a half-life sentence?
Can I get a half-life sentence? Yeah. thank God he's in jail.
I love that.
He's already murdered a dude, and he was willing to shoot himself to get out of jail to, what, kill more people?
I just love that excuse. We were shot by an unknown assailant while we were praying.
Yeah.
We're trying to do the right thing here.
Yeah, the drug-smuggling murderers were praying. I don't want to sound cold and cynical, but I mean, come on. Really?
Yeah, that's... We were praying.
I just love the part where they think that
we were also feeding the children.
Feeding the children, yeah.
Somehow, while we're in jail. We had a line of hungry children outside of our jail cell.
Yeah, we were feeding them with the contraband food we smuggled in. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like, well, we had just gotten off the phone with the puppy adoption agency, then we draped our American flags around our shoulders, fed the starving children outside our window, and started praying when this vicious man attacked us and escaped without being noticed at all.
I was just trying to do the right thing. We were praying and helping the kitties and the children. They were so
the children.
Small.
Think of the children.
We were trying to feed them with our contraband food.
Think of the contraband. It's just utterly ridiculous.
Sob story.
Anybody with a quarter of a brain could figure out that this story is ludicrous.
Yeah. An unknown assailant.
An unknown assailant shot 2 people and escaped without being noticed.
Nobody saw him.
Yeah.
While they were praying.
While they were praying, yeah.
So, there you go there.
Wouldn't they have found the gun in the cell? This unnamed assailant shot us and then threw the gun into our cell, and we somehow got our fingerprints on it.
Yeah, it was all an accident.
Really? Even if they bought the unnamed assailant thing, wouldn't they have found the gun? What's their excuse then? Look, this is the problem with telling lies, is that you can never cover all your bases.
You gotta tell another lie.
You gotta tell another lie. And at that point, you know, well, there was no way to get out of this one.
No.
You know what, though? When you smuggle a gun into prison after killing somebody, it's really a one-way street there. There's no going back from that.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
Of course, it's another Florida story.
It's Florida, and they're crazy. Because when one just isn't enough.
Yep. And we're going to follow the case of a Florida deputy.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
I love that clip.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
Well, we'll tell you.
Yeah. Sit down, Al.
Take a seat, Al, while we weave you a tale.
Yep. Well, this is a true tale. A Florida deputy is trying to get his job back after he was fired after taking his drunken friends on a joyride in his patrol car and letting them heckle Fort Lauderdale residents with the vehicle's public address system.
Why would he think that this is acceptable behavior? What did he think was going to happen?
Oh, we're just having fun.
We're just having fun. Oh, okay, Bob. See you on Monday.
Rodrigo Mello was fired after the incident and has been trying to reclaim his job via an arbitration process ever since. During the incident, the 33-year-old officer went for a cruise while one of his friends said inappropriate things on the car's loudspeaker to pedestrians, and the other friend was obviously passed out in the back seat. Do you want to hear some of the things that were uttered?
Yeah, sure.
According to eyewitnesses, some of the things the drunk friend said include when they passed by a group of teenage girls. He said over the loudspeaker, quote, "Girls, put your hoo-ahs back in your pants."
Hoo-ah!
So you see, Al Pacino was there.
Yeah, this is Al having a wild night out.
Who is the guy in Florida? It's you, Al. You're too drunk to remember.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
Hoo-ah!
Yeah. In addition, the police car went to a local hot dog vendor, and the drunk man yelled out, "Mine's bigger."
Okay.
"And your wiener sucks."
These are like really juvenile comments. I thought they were going to be like bad, but it's like, ha ha, wiener.
Who was?
Yeah.
Hoo-ah.
Yep. As a result, the deputy is still fired from his job.
Good. I mean, you know, it's sad he lost his job, but also he shouldn't have been driving around his drunk friends and harassing people with the loudspeaker.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah, he didn't need to do that.
That's very unprofessional. I really want to know what he thought was going to happen. Did he thought that it was just going to be okay? Like, oh yeah, sure, I can abuse my powers and nobody will figure out or care. Come on now.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yep.
An Arkansas man was arrested and charged with driving while intoxicated and disorderly conduct after he allegedly harassed a couple in a car because he believed that they were in a spaceship and the driver was an alien.
I'm guessing he was on something.
Yes. When he was arrested, police found a pipe that was used to smoke meth.
Yep.
So, yep, he was definitely high on some things.
I love that, though, that he thought the car... What did he think? The car was a spaceship?
Yeah, he thought the car was a spaceship and the driver was an alien.
So, wait, remind me again. Was this guy driving another car or what was he doing?
The alleged victims called police after James Bushart began following them around and then pulled up in front of their Plymouth Prowler to demand... we're serious business here.
Okay.
To demand that, quote, the alien needs to take his spaceship back to where he came from.
The guy should have just said, okay, I'm going back home.
Don't make me issue my ultimate form!
Yeah. Bushart is also accused of making threatening gestures as well. The driver, Jay Ward, said that, quote, "I can't believe how upset he was. I was a little upset about that, mostly because I had a passenger with me, and I was concerned for her safety as well." Oh, that means he was with a girl.
Yeah.
Come on, you're ruining my time with you know, potential hookup here.
That is the craziest case of, I can't say the word.
C-blocking.
God damn it. Yep. It's not as impactful, Rich. It's not as impactful.
Yep, censorship.
So, the only... Anyway, this is the craziest case of C-blocking I've ever heard
Assuming direct control.
Uh-oh. Yeah, it might have been the Reapers.
Well, that's why he stopped him. He thought it was a Reaper.
Assuming direct control.
You should have said that. I'm assuming direct control, and the alien must take his spaceship back to where he came from.
Assuming direct control.
You know, though, in all fairness, what'd you say, a Plymouth Prowler?
Yeah.
It looks very spaceship-like.
According to the police report, the 44-year-old was shaky and talking to himself while they were performing field sobriety tests on him. He said that he was interested in the Plymouth Prowler because it looked like a futuristic machine.
Well, see, that's what I just said.
He also randomly told police that, quote, "I'm a very big deal, and I am worth more than 100,000 Asian flowers."
Oh, I just want Bruce Lee, homie.
1,000 Asian flowers?
100,000 Asian flowers.
Oh. You know what? Last week we had a math lesson about pants lobsters. So how much is 100,000 Asian flowers worth?
One drugged up Arkansas man.
One drugged up Arkansas man.
I just want Bruce Lee, homie.
That's amazing. I'm a big deal.
I'm a very big deal, and boy, this guy.
What type of Asian flower? Is it a specific Asian flower, or is it just 100,000 random Asian flowers? What's an Asian flower?
This guy's very serious between the fact that he demanded that the alien take the spaceship back to where he came from.
Well, he is a big deal,
he's
Rich.
A big deal, and he's worth more than 100,000 Asian flowers.
He sounds like a big deal. If he can command alien spaceships to return to their home planets.
Assuming direct control.
James Bushart.
James Bushart.
He's apparently a very important guy in the galaxy.
Yeah, James Bushart is... very important and worth 100,000 Asian flowers.
Yep, whatever the hell that means. All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
An intoxicated man who really wanted a snow cone had a little trouble when he allegedly tried to break into an Oklahoma City shop that sells the icy drinks. Michael Donahue's main problem was that the establishment was actually still open when he tried to break into the place.
Oh my gosh, okay.
When police responded to a burglary report at the Snow Cone Shack at 1 p.m. in the afternoon, they allegedly saw Donahue trying to work the knob of the stand. Like he's an expert thief here.
Yeah, and some guy's just standing there going, excuse me, sir, can I help you? Would you like to place an order?
Shut up, I'm trying to break into this
I'm
joint.
I'm breaking into this place, they'll never see me.
According to a woman who was working at the shack, the suspects...
They should have just opened the door for him.
The eyewitness is the person that works.
According to a woman who was working at the shack, the suspect first attempted to break the doorknob at the stand, but then he gave up and then tried to beat and push on the door.
Like I said, they should have just opened the door for him. That would have been hilarious. Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
If they just, I mean, you're working at a snow cone stand. If some guy's trying to break down your back door.
Oh,
but was
my God.
He wasn't violent, was he? He was like trying to be stealthy at first, wasn't
yeah,
he?
He's trying to break the knob open.
Yeah, just open the door, crack
unlock
and go,
the knob.
And go, can I help you?
Like he's Bond or something.
Yeah, he's James Bond.
Yeah.
But yeah, I missed that James Bond movie. The one where he breaks into the ice cream stand. Okay.
Yep, he has to take out some
people
too.
It was just one punch.
Ah, yes. I'm James Bond. I broke into an ice cream stand and stole 4 ice cream cones.
This is very important to my mission, Moneypenny.
Why don't you tell me, why are we both James Bond? Why don't you tell me why it's important,
right,
James
now,
Bond?
Right, now pay attention, 007. The mission is extremely tough. You must steal enough snow cones to facilitate
to
all
stop
of our
the Russian spies.
Yes.
Of course.
And you must take care of that one guy that's at the shack, okay?
I'll punch him.
The music just stops. The music just stops. Punch. And that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's it.
I think we accidentally leaked the plot of Bond 24. Dun 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 dun. Punch. Oh, that's the most anticlimactic Bond ever.
Yeah, I don't know why my soundboard just cut that off.
I don't know why either, but that was interesting.
The fun of doing a live podcast.
Yeah.
Let me finish the story.
yes, please.
He was arrested for burglary, trespassing, and public drunkenness. When he was arrested, he said, quote, I'm just trying to get a snow cone.
it's actually quite a sad story. All he wanted was a snow cone.
Yep. But it was very important that he break into the place.
At 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Did he really not notice that it was the middle of the day?
I guess.
I understand that you're drunk, but isn't it like bright and sunny and warm outside? And you see people walking around.
It's a mirage.
It's all a mirage, yeah. Yeah. It's secretly midnight, and you're all alone.
Yep. Well, it's 1 a.m. in London, and he had to get the snow cones for MI6. So.
Ah, that must tying it back into the James Bond thing. Very good.
That must have been what it was.
Yep.
All right, you ready for our next story here?
Of course.
All right. Actually, the last two stories of the night have to do with some crazy drug stories.
Well, of course they do.
How about we end the non-fortune cookie odd news on some drug stories?
Sounds like a good idea.
Let's do this one. A Seattle man is in custody after allegedly ingesting a drug cocktail and going on a nude rampage.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
What is a nude rampage?
Before the unidentified man was going wild, his pants were already nowhere to be found. According to a police report, a man in his 30s, wearing only a t-shirt, was seen throwing rocks at cars.
What a jerk.
And officers were called in to investigate. When police arrived on the scene, the man provided them with a fake name. It was also apparent that he had torn out patches of his own hair.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
He then allegedly took off running and started to strip off all of his clothes in the process.
He only had a t-shirt left.
Yep. Officers eventually caught up with the completely naked man and took him into custody. Officer Jay McNeil said that I could feel his heart racing just while I was holding his arm to brace him. The man said that he had taken cocaine, methamphetamines, LSD, and other drugs all at once.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's lucky he didn't die, honestly.
He's on a boatload of drug cocktails.
Yes, he is.
Officers had difficulty identifying the man because he was unable to provide police with his real name or home address.
He had no wallet on him either.
Yeah. So, whew. That's a story for you. Cocaine-fueled naked rampage.
Cocaine, meth, LSD.
Yeah, LSD.
Fueled.
Yeah, everything.
I mean, my gosh, how does he survive something like that? That must take a toll on the human body.
Yeah. Well, he'll feel it the next morning when he's in jail.
Yeah.
All right, and you ready for our last story of the night?
Yes.
A Colorado man who was accused of smoking methamphetamines is now facing attempted murder charges.
Oh, my gosh.
After he was allegedly able to squeeze off two shots at Denver police officers from a gun that was located in his butt.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. How the hell did he manage that? That's actually impressive. So he actually shot the gun from his butt.
Yeah. He was able to extract the gun out of his butt and hold it.
Oh, he took it out.
But still hold it on his butt and shoot at the officers.
Hold it? Why would he hold it on his butt? Why wouldn't he just hold it normally?
Isaac Vigil was being brought to the police station after officers repeatedly searched him when he somehow managed to bend down and literally open fire.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. That is the best sneak attack ever.
Vigil stopped firing when his gun jammed up his butt and officers were forced to shoot him in the stomach.
Oh my gosh.
I love that I can read that line as a serious news story.
The gun, what'd you say? The gun jammed up in his butt?
Vigil stopped firing when his gun jammed up his butt.
Oh my gosh.
Originally, the 32-year-old was taken into custody after he was seen smoking meth in a McDonald's parking lot. Vigil was facing numerous charges, including possession of drug paraphernalia, assault, felony menacing, and possession of a weapon already. It was difficult to search Vigil because he was violent and aggressive and highly agitated, but officers reported that the suspect was patted down three times and they couldn't find his gun.
And they missed the gun up his butt.
Yeah.
That's why they do cavity searches.
Yep. Prior to the shooting, Vigil threatened to shoot the officer several times and claimed that he had been smoking meth for 3 days.
Watch out, I've been smoking meth for 3 days.
In addition to the gun, Vigil also had two bags of meth stashed in his rectal area.
Oh. Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
So
I don't understand why people think it's like a kangaroo's pouch. You can just store stuff up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Well, this guy was able to...
he got a handgun up there.
Not only get a handgun up there, but actually dislocate it and fire it from his butt.
That's amazing. I'm still confused about how he actually did this. Was he firing it with his hand just near his butt, or was he actually firing it with his butt cheeks?
I don't think it was with his butt cheeks.
Because that's really amazing. You just bend over and bullets start flying out of your ass. Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Well, no, it says that he bent down and okay. Then literally opened fire.
Okay. So you must have pulled it out.
So he pulled it out and fired it when he was bent down.
Okay.
From his ass.
That's amazing. Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
He squeezed off two shots before the police had to shoot him in the stomach.
That sucks. He got shot in the stomach. That's hilarious.
He opened fire on police officers. There's nothing you can do.
That's not something to be taken lightly. Cops usually don't like to be fired on.
No.
Especially not with poop bullets.
Yeah, especially from an ass pistol.
An ass pistol? Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
And there you go. That is what I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news for this week. Whew.
That was a lot.
Oh, man. I know. You got to love that odd news.
Well, you know what? The whole show, you know, we've been picking up little tidbits of life lessons to learn. So what we like to do is we like to sum it up all into one segment. Folks, this is what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned on this episode?
We've learned that you can fire a pistol out of your ass.
Yeah.
We've also learned that the snow cone burglar is secretly James Bond.
Just needed a snow cone.
Yeah, just wanted a snow cone. We also learned that James Bushart is very important and apparently worth 100,000 Asian flowers.
Yes.
I don't know what Asian flowers are, but he's...
I guess that's a lot. I don't know.
I guess so.
It's worth... he's worth one Plymouth Prowler spaceship.
Ah, okay. Yes, the spaceship. Also, we've learned that when you are on drugs, you think cars are spaceships.
Yeah.
So you better watch out for those evil aliens.
Go back home.
Yeah. We also learned that Crookshank and Lambie is an awesome 1920s era gangster duo.
Yeah. I like that one.
Those names are just so stereotypically criminal, aren't they?
Yeah. Sounds like the one guy already shivs somebody in prison.
Yeah, right?
And there you go. That is what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, and the ending music comes on. It means we got to close out this show. Wow, Mike, what a show.
Oh, another great one in the books.
Well, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also check out our YouTube channel where we have highlights of some of our favorite moments. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, your tablet, your MP3 player. That way you can listen to us on the go, at home, at work, anywhere, anytime you want. Just search for the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And if you want to get your first crack at the Crispy Noodle Podcast every week, check out Totally Driven Entertainment's Blog Talk Radio page every Wednesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. because that is where we debut each week's new episode. But if you can't make it during that time slot, subscribe to our podcast. That's why we got the iTunes feed there, so you can play each episode whenever you want to. In addition, we also have a SoundCloud page. Look up the Crispy Noodle Podcast there, and you will find shareable clips of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, around 1 to 2 minute little mini noodles, easily shareable on Facebook, Twitter, friends, email, whatever you want to do with it, out there to share as well. So plenty of avenues to find the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Tons of ways to listen to the podcast, get in touch with us, and share it with others. But if you want to follow us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mike Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. And you want to talk about getting in touch with us, don't forget this weekend, Too Many Games Convention. We are going to be there.
That's right. We'll be there in Oaks, PA for the awesome retro gaming convention.
That's right. So much fun. If you don't have anything to do this weekend, you've got to head down. We'll be there. Hey, maybe we'll see you there. Why not?
Yeah.
This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys either at the Too Many Games convention or next week on the podcast.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?